Amen. Good morning. Morning. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace and peace to you for him who is, for him who was, from him who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion and power forever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. They will see him whom they have pierced, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega. How do you know it's Jesus speaking? It's in red. The beginning and the end. The Lord who is, who was, and is to come. The Lord Almighty. Let us pray this morning. Father God, we just thank you for this morning, Lord God. Even during our worship, that it's all about Jesus. Lord, we thank you that Jesus be glorified in this service, Father God. Lord Jesus, heal the sick this morning. Lord Jesus, encourage people's hearts this morning. Give people a vision for their future, that you have a good plan for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, blessed are the short-winded. They do get invited back to speak. You know, Joel Osteen had a joke, so I'm going to start with a joke. I like doing that every now and then. You know, there was this little boy who went to what we called an old-fashioned church. And in the old-fashioned church, church will go a long time. You were happy if you got out by 1 o'clock to beat the Baptist to Denny's. And, you know, you start talking about food in church and people are gone. But so this preacher in the old-fashioned church was there, and he was a guest minister. And so people wouldn't leave early. He'd say something like, I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to close. And the pastor's son was sitting on the front row of the pastor and said, Daddy, how many doors does this preacher have to close so we can get out of here? I don't want to do that to you this morning. But John said to the seven churches which are in Asia, which is modern-day Turkey, first of all, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. If you study the Bible, and you should study the Bible, there's 27 books in the New Testament. Four of them are the Gospels. One of them is the book of Acts, which is the book of history. The rest, 22 of the epistles, are letters to the church. Of the 22 epistles, 21 of them start off with the phrase, grace to you. Grace to you. Grace to you, which is the unmerited favor of God, the ability of God, and anointing of God to you. And what I like about grace is not based on merit or demerit. It's based on the favor of God. Because there's some days I need more grace than others. I like what Bill Johnson said. He said, on my best days, God gives me mercy. And on my worst days, he gives me grace. So if you feel like you royally blew it, messed it up completely, you kicked the dog on your way out to work, you cut off the preacher in traffic and yelled at him, and you realized it was the preacher. Praise the Lord, you've never done that. Ooh, I was with somebody who did that, a preacher to a preacher. Preacher got mad, started waving in traffic. Other preacher got mad. They realized, oh, brother, I love you. Ooh, it's fun being an armor bearer. So there is grace to you in every circumstance, because what the enemy would like to do is to disqualify you from being what God said you are. You are a king and you're a priest. So the very first thing that he says from the seven spirits, which if you read Isaiah chapter 11, there's the total or completeness of God and how he works. It says, grace and peace to you, who was and him who is and him who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, the firstborn over the dead. So I'm going to give you 4 points and we can get out of here and go eat. First of all, Jesus is the absolute ruler of all things. He is the absolute authority. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He rules and reigns with power and with majesty. They did not kill Jesus. Jesus freely gave himself up. He went to the cross. He paid the price for our sins. And when he decided it was finished, he said it was finished, but he wasn't finished. He was dead for 3 days, but it said he went and led captivity captive. He made a public display of Satan's failure, triumphing over him in your salvation. It was not possible for death to hold him. He's risen, and he's coming again. So I want to say Jesus is the ultimate authority. So whether you watch Fox News, CNN, or nothing, Jesus is the ultimate authority. He's the ultimate power. Nothing takes Jesus by surprise. He rules and reigns with majesty. And there is a lot of stuff coming against the church nowadays, but that's normal. If stuff wasn't coming against the church, it meant we're not doing anything right. Because Jesus didn't say you would be liked by everybody on Facebook because of me. He actually said, you would be hated by all because of me. If they like you a lot, it means you're doing a little. But in this age, we live in a world where there's a lot of stuff that's going on that can make you shake your head. A lot of things coming against the church. There was a famous actor who recently got up to receive an award, and he opened the award that he received by saying, "Hail Satan." We live in a world that's embracing darkness and embracing evil. And you as a Christian, there are times you could get discouraged and say, "Well, what's going on?" I got news for you. Jesus wins. You win. You're on the winning team. You're not on the team that's going to go to the place that I sang about in my other song. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, we'll go to verse 1. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? And the kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers have taken counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces. Let us cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath and in his stress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare a decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask and I will give the nations of the earth for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing, with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." If you've put your trust in him, you are blessed. And one of the words blessed means happy. But this is the situation. The only reason, like Jesus told Pilate, Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the authority to take your life?" He said, "You have no authority except that God has given it to you." The things that are happening in this world today are happening because there's always going to be, as long before Jesus comes back, wheat and tares, sheep and goats, light and darkness. There are going to be people who are getting ready for the return of Christ, and there are people who are getting ready to embrace the Antichrist. But I got good news. You're not going through any of that tribulation. You're not going through any of those things, because there are some people like, "Do we go for the tribulation?" Well, I'll just give you a scripture that says no. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "You were not appointed to wrath, but salvation." Which means if Jesus died in your place, why would he have to punish you again by sending you for the tribulation? So everybody else who says no to Jesus, it's going to be bad. They're going to have mosquitoes that look like horses and sting people. But for us, it says we're going to the marriage celebration of the Lamb. We are going to a place whose city, whose builder and maker is God. We will celebrate and rejoice, throw our crowns before the King of glory and rejoice. But the nations who oppose the Lord, they'll be defeated. And I'll also say this boldly, the nations that oppose Israel have always been defeated. You know, the nation of Israel was established by God. He said that nation would exist, and it's the only nation where empires have tried to destroy it throughout history. Babylon is gone, Greece is gone, the Romans are gone, the Nazis are gone, but Israel remains because God is God. When they were founded as a nation, right before they were founded, give you a history lesson, Joseph Stalin, who's the dictator of Russia, this is close, short time after the Holocaust, Hitler's whole regime had tried to wipe out the Jewish people. They killed 6 million people in the Holocaust, 2 million Jews, when there's probably only at that time 8 million Jews living in the world. Hitler's regime failed. They said they were going to be the thousand-year Reich because he was the Messiah. That's why they say Sieg Heil, which means Savior's victory. Well, his thousand-year Reich lasted 12 years, and he ended up dying shooting himself in the mouth. The Jewish people were living in the Soviet Union. Stalin was a murderer. He killed 60 million people during his lifetime. Stalin is quoted saying, "One death is a tragedy, a million deaths is just a statistic." And he came up with a theory, how could I kill all these Jews I don't like because they're in the country, in the Soviet Union, and I can't be an open anti-Semite? So he came up with what they call the Jewish doctors conspiracy, which is all the Jewish doctors in the Soviet Union are plotting to overthrow Stalin, so we have to round up all the Jewish doctors and kill them and all their families and all their friends and all their associates and anybody who could be related to a Jew. Well, as the KGB were following out Stalin's orders, he had a stroke. And the doctor who could have saved his life was being interrogated. So shortly afterwards, Stalin died, and the new head of the regime said, "You know what, that was a dumb order, and the Jews are innocent." 3 years later, 1948, Israel became a nation. Six nations declared war on them with the goal of wiping them off the map. And those nations were utterly defeated. And Israel remains to this day. And now we have recognized the capital of Israel as in Jerusalem. I don't care if ISIS comes against them, Iran, Putin, whoever. There is a God who sits in the heavens and he's the defender of Israel and watches over them. Now, with all that said, You have a better covenant based on better promises. If God wiped out them suckers who try to take out his people, then he will give you favor. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that God will give you so much favor that he'll cause your enemies to want to bless you and not know why. He's the ultimate ruler. So point number one, he rules in every one of your situations. Matthew 16, 18 says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's why you don't have to be afraid to go to places. You know, traveling and preaching in Louisiana and was on the road and they told me don't go by this house with this field. I'm like, why? Well, there's voodoo there. I said, well, I got the blood here. So you don't have to be afraid of darkness. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he lives inside of your heart and you have victory in every situation. Point number two, he loved us and washed us in his own blood. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer for the sprinkling of the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who for the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now let's flip over to chapter 12, verse 24. Chapter 12, verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, by the blood and sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel's. Jesus is a mediator of the new covenant that speaks better things than Abel's. When Abel was murdered in the book of Genesis chapter 4, God told Cain, his blood cries out with wrath. When the blood of every victim throughout history, not just against Cain, but against all people, men were liars, men were thieves, men were murderers, men committed genocide, had done all these terrible things. But when Jesus shed his blood spoke forgiveness, redemption, the destroying of every family curse in your family. It says, if the blood of bulls and goats, you know, in the old covenant, if they went and gave their offerings, they were good for a year if God accepted it. Now, they were kind of, they would put a rope on the high priest. He would go into the holies with bells. And if he died because of sin, they'd pull him out and they were kind of sad. But if they accepted the offering, they're like, yay, no wrath, at least for a year. We're good. You know, in the book of Exodus, and they have a great movie about that movie called The Ten Commandments, the death angel came, and he did not spare the Israelites because they're Israelites. He spared them because of the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. And the book of 1 John says that the blood of Jesus speaks and bears witness in heaven and on earth over the good things of God for your life. If the death angel couldn't kill the Jews because of a lamb, the Lamb of God shed his blood at Calvary, gave himself for you so you could be redeemed from every curse, blessed with his blessings, and walk in his life. Better things. It says, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, God, he doesn't want you to do something because you have to. He wants you to do it because you have a heart that wants to. If you're trying to do things to earn things from God, it's actually an insult to grace. It's saying that Jesus died in vain, according to Galatians chapter 2. You don't earn anything from God. By faith, you receive it freely by grace. Your healing, by faith for grace. The salvation in your family, by faith for grace. Even increasing your spiritual walk, you just come and get to enjoy being with him. You know, if I get hanging around with John Archer long enough, we've been friends, we work together. You know, one of the pastors here said we go on a lot of guy dates. You know, nobody's jealous. Anyway, So the more we are around each other, the more we pick up each other's vernacular, even if we're not trying to. It's called assimilation through association. Yeah, you hear me say sha-sha? You know why I said sha-sha? I worked on the ministry. I was an armor bearer, and I had to drive with a Cajun 72 hours a week in a car together. Eventually, sha-sha was coming out. When you begin to spend time with Father God, when you begin to spend time with the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden, the character of Father God, the love of Father God, the boldness, the compassion comes inside of you. So it's not like, okay, if I don't do this, God's going to strike me dead. No, it's actually the more I'm with him, the more I become like him. To cleanse you from dead works, to serve the living God. It says your conscience. What I love, it says in 1 John chapter 3, that even if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart and knows everything about you. It says he took the record of your sins and moral failures and nailed it to the cross and wiped it out with the blood of Jesus. So if the lambs in the Old Testament could cover you, the Lamb of God has erased your past. Not just the stuff you did BC. He did everything. BC, before you got water baptized, before you spoke in tongues and on your way this morning, he covered it all. So you can enjoy the new covenant. Now, in closing, first point, Jesus rules over everything. Second point, he washed us in his blood to serve him because he loved us. He still loves you. In Acts chapter 10, verse 48, I just want to talk about being kings and priests to God and what that practically and spiritually means. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Izzy and John and Kirk and Angie with the Holy Spirit and power, and they went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God is with them. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. It says that your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. It says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 19, that the whole creation groans with birth pain, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. So Jesus went about doing good and healing everybody who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was our priest, and he was our king, and he still is. He's eternal. So now you and I in this world, God left us here to be kings and priests. So in the Christian term, what does that mean? Well, it says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. You are a carrier of salvation. You're an ambassador for Christ. You don't just go to your job to go to your job. You go to your job representing the kingdom and bringing the authority of the kingdom into every situation. You might say, well, Chesley, my coworkers are a bunch of heathens. Yeah, Paul was on a boat to go be as a prisoner to go bear witness. The boat sank, and because of Paul, God saved all the men who were on the boat with him. Good, the bad, the ugly, just because Paul was there. God's going to help some people at your job, at your school, in your family, just because you're in that family as a king and a priest, interceding for people. You go about doing good and healing everybody. When you see a sick person, it's an opportunity for God to get some glory. Have you ever seen a crazy person that said, I'm going to run the other way? Well, it's an opportunity for God to get some glory in your deliverance ministry. You know, I think it's funny. The senior pastors always have, like, the young guys go out and have to deal with the crazy people. You get to clean the toilets and cast out the demons. The ministry, yes. You and I are called to be kings. Kings are that we expand the kingdom. In other words, kings wage war and rule on behalf of Father God. You wage war against darkness and enforce the rule of the kingdom for Father God on this earth to the return of Jesus. It doesn't mean we go out and dominate others. It means we pray for others. We intercede for others. We stand in the gap for other people, and they begin to experience salvation. Now, as a priest, it means we intercede for others. Let me quote to you 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He said, therefore, I encourage that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving you thanks be made for all men, for kings who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself to be a ransom for all, testified in due time. So Paul was saying here is, I want you to pray for everybody because God's will is salvation for everybody. You know, it's you got to stay out of your flesh when you get on social media or watch the news or any other thing. Because if you're not careful, the spirit of this age will come on you. The spirit of this age is the people who I don't know are the others. They're not really people. They're just the others. They're just the people down the street or the people who are in this affiliation or that affiliation. You know why the Romans called barbarians barbarians? Because they just figured the only word they could say was barb, barb, barb. It's very easy to be cruel to, vicious to, do terrible things to people you don't view as human beings. But when you allow the love of God to come inside of you, say, wait a minute, Lord, those people over there who are following this religion that commits suicide bombings, these are people who just need you. You know, those people over there who are atheists and talking all this craziness at work, these are people who just need you. I don't battle against flesh and blood. I don't have to get mad at these folks because these folks are just under the domain of Satan. What I'm going to do is say, Father God, have mercy on these people, save these people, and deliver these people. Because, Lord, if you save me in all of my situations, and you can save them in all their situations. You know, I had a family member, an unbeliever. He called me up, and he said, you know, Chesley, I haven't ever told you this, but I'm kind of afraid to die. I said, you're afraid to die? He's like, yeah, he said, I know you're a preacher and we don't agree on all that stuff, but I mean, I'm kind of, what happens? I said, well, if I'm right, I said, I have a family reunion. I get to go see the King of Glory. I get to experience life forever and peace forever with him. And I said, but if you're right, it's just oblivion, so you have nothing to worry about. It's just sleep. He said, but what if it's not? I said, then you should get right with the Lord. He's like, well, he said, there's another problem I have with how I believe. And he's like, I'm like, well, what's that? He said, there are a lot of people who should go to hell. They're bad people. And if I'm right, nobody goes to hell. I said, wow, you just debunked your own theory. I said, I want you to hear this now. The disciples told Jesus, hey, let's call fire down from heaven to kill these guys because they're really bad over here. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking me to do. I said, you wanting people to be destroyed is not the spirit of God. I said, because if God did that to one person, he had to do it to everybody. So he put it on Jesus so all could experience salvation. In this age where we have people who say and do ugly and ridiculous things, pray against the spirit, pray for their salvation, but don't get into the flesh of wanting to see them destroyed. You know, because, I mean, you could be in Houston traffic and have to pray against that spirit. You know, sha. You pray in tongues. Somebody said you can experience the presence of God in your car. I said, that is a supernatural person who can experience the presence of God in their car in Houston traffic. Lord. Oh, Lord. Last verse. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation 1, 7. It says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him whom they've pierced, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Lord who is, who was, and is to come. God has complete authority over everything in your life, past, present, and future. But in relation to this, the world without Jesus is going to go through the tribulation. But I want to encourage you, the tribulation, the suffering of that world is not for you. Because you've said yes to Jesus, the Bible says, whether you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better, or to the man of sin, the Antichrist, cannot be revealed, to that which is restraining him is removed, which I believe is the Holy Spirit in the church. Because Pastor Al and I, we can go into Starbucks because coffee is scriptural. And if the Antichrist is right there with the false prophet, all we have to do is say, in the name of Jesus, and they're defeated. So they can't do what they need to do till we're out of here. So before Jesus returns and before everything happens, he still has a mission for us to be kings and priests, which is to destroy the works of darkness and not be intimidated by them, but also to intercede and love people who desperately need him. I want to encourage you, as an intercessor for others, who are you praying for to see born again? Who are you praying for to see delivered? The Bible says in Revelations that there is a bowl of incense before the throne of God, which is the prayers of the saints. In other words, when you pray, it refreshes God. And says it makes him feel refreshed and good. Your prayers don't fall on deaf ears. They actually smell like a good cologne that somebody gave you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I just want to pray over you this morning. Father, I just thank you for your people, that you loved us and washed us with your own blood, that blood cleansed us from all of our sins, from a heavy conscience, God, that we can be the people you've called us to be and do the things you've called us to do. And Lord, that we don't have to fear the works of darkness, that we are kings, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will crush Satan under our feet shortly. So Father, I thank you that we'd walk in that boldness and that authority, but Lord, show us people that we can pray for, that they would know you, Father God, because your heart is not willing that any would perish, but all come to repentance. So Lord, give us a heart of compassion. Give us a heart to pray for salvation. And Lord, when you give us the words to speak, we will speak those words, Father God, and we will see people born again. Father, I thank you for whole households saved. Even the family members who we think would are beyond you, you are not too weak to save them, Father God. I thank you for salvation coming to this house. In Jesus' name, amen.